Hey, Lucinda.
¿Cómo está?
Muy bien, gracias. ¿Y tú?
Bien.
Good, good. Excellent. How was your weekend?
Good weekend. I got into nothing really, but it was very productive. I spent 1.5 days in the office, and the other half a day I spent scheduling editorial for 2026.
Wow.
And guys, it's going to be so good.
It's going to be so good.
I'm so excited for our upcoming guests.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been super lucky and super grateful for everyone and their conversations.
Mm-hmm.
It's been great.
I just can't believe people trust us.
We've had a good
run so far. We haven't burned anyone yet, though, so I'll give us that.
No, it's great.
We are not in the gotcha business.
100%. I got to have a great experience on Friday. I got a sneak peek into Philadelphia Ballet's brand new Center for Dance.
It's the Louise Reed Center for Dance. Oh, am I right?
Oh, we're loving it. Yeah, and so they're adding, I might be getting this wrong, but I want to say another 40,000 square feet of space between the new building and their school mm-hmm. studio. So what's currently their school is being used by the company and the school and adults and the community. It's chaos over there with
and
only three studios.
Sidebar, I can speak to that because up until the end of the summer, Petit Garçon was taking classes there, and it just felt like you were climbing over people,
yeah,
point shoes,
right,
duffel bags.
This is exactly what they need. And it is such an amazing foundation to start Philadelphia Ballet's new chapter.
Mm-hmm.
There is dedicated space for the company, dedicated space for the costumes, dedicated space for the shoes, dedicated space for
gonna be amazing.
The community through a black box theater. There's a community kitchen that's going to be in there. The lobby looks beautiful and inviting. And all
tell me there's a pen for dance school parents to wait.
There's even their own adult locker room so that the kids have their own space and the adults would have their own space.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And what everybody loves the most is there's bathrooms everywhere. I mean, you take that for granted, but everybody's excited about how many bathrooms there's going to be.
Per my knowledge, there is currently one set of gang bathrooms.
Right.
And some people use that as a changing room.
Yeah. Yeah. They have outgrown this space
mm-hmm.
years ago
mm-hmm.
with Angel's artistic direction and Shelley's guidance through this like next capital phase for them. And that this is finally the moment that they have to shine. It's going to be great.
It already is.
Yeah.
It looks great. I speak that as someone who works in A&E.
Yeah.
That's architecture and engineering people.
It's going to be beautiful.
Okay. Anything else?
No. We kept it light. So
nice.
With that.
You know what? Sometimes you have to keep it light.
Yes.
We have light days. We have heavy days.
Yes, we do. On to the conversation.
On to the conversation.
Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with the artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Degerland.
Hey, hey, hey.
And today we have Lauren Sapori, artist. We're so happy to have you today.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Lauren, let us know a little bit about your origin story. How did you come to the art that you're currently producing today? And what, you know, trials and tribulations were there to kind of get you to where you are today?
I thought I was going to be a rock star when I was little.
Nice.
Sidebar, you're a vocalist, right?
I'm a musician and I sang vocals too.
Okay. Nice. I found your Spotify.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool. Go back. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Music was my thing. I was convinced I was going to be a rock star when I was a kid. And I was put on ADD medication really early.
Yeah.
And I would just sit there and draw instead of paying attention. I'd get really into my drawing. So I would draw different musicians and, but I never really thought of myself as an artist. And I started playing music in bands in high school. And then at 24, I decided I really wanted to go to school. I kept having dreams about being in a classroom. And I was never like good in class or anything. And I hated high school, but I just really wanted to go to college.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'll try art. I was dating a photographer who was like, yeah, I want to go to Yale and did this residency and this and that. And I was like, man, there's just like a straight shot to like being an artist.
Right.
Like, I thought that was a thing, but it's not that easy. But, you know, with music and everything, there's like tours and you have to book everything and book shows and like all this stuff. And then you have to like be with a band and other musicians and have practices and rely on all these things. And I would like go into the recording studio and want to do a take over and over again and be in there for hours. And it'd always be like, oh, it's good enough. And I'd want to perfect it.
Right.
So I found that art was cool because I get to be a perfectionist and it's all in my own time and everything.
Right.
But yeah, I stopped doing music. And so I went to school and I thought it was bullshit. You know, I was like, oh, art's easy, you know, and I always knew that I was like good at drawing and stuff, but it wasn't my thing. And I was like, oh, this is easy. You just draw a thing and this person's selling this this whatever for this much money and,
right.
Yes. And you could just do that. And turns out it wasn't that easy at all. I like was way ahead of my and I hated abstract art. I thought that was bullshit and I thought it was all fake and everything. And then I went to school for painting and realized that it was really, really hard. And I got very humbled in that way. And yeah, I went to community college here in Philadelphia. Kind of, I saw Dominique
Sammarco.
Yeah, Sammarco was on here. So
yeah,
we both went to CCP at different times and then transferred to MICA. But I went to Community College of Philly, and I was really into painting like representational. I was painting pictures for my phone and stuff and just like getting the technical stuff in there. And then I went to MICA, and then that kind of like blew open my... my mind and my vision and stuff about what art's about. And they really taught me how to look and to think for myself and to look at things in my own way. And so I really just studied like all this technical stuff and I got really into impressionism. And I thought I was going to be a representational artist. And then in my last year, I took like a philosophy class and then that kind of blew my mind open. And I really hated painting, and I still kind of hate painting. But then I realized how abstract representational art was and everything, and my last semester before my thesis, I kind of just, I went really big and started working from the subconscious, and I related back to music a lot. I was really into blues when I was a kid and stuff, and I think it's because there's like an emotion behind the guitar playing, and... Mm-hmm. It's kind of more of an expressionistic type of guitar playing instead of like heavy metal and doing this technical thing. And I think I translate music to art a lot. But yeah, I mean, that's how I got into, you know, painting how I am now and subconscious sort of abstract expressionist.
Ooh, so, I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. One of the listeners that we have loves to know what people and artists listen to when they create their art. What is that for you?
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Wow. You raw dog it.
I love that.
I tried when I was painting representational stuff. I would be able to listen to music because I knew exactly what was going to happen in the painting, and I had a clear end game, but now since it's subconscious, if I listen to something, it'll start moving with. And I know like Jackson Pollock did that and, you know, made those jazzy paintings and everything, but I really want it to be like mine, like completely from my inner world and everything.
Non-biased.
And I feel like if I listen to a song or something, then it'll start like coming in there and whatever musician's singing, like then they're. Person's gonna get into my painting.
Gotcha.
And I wanted to just I leave everything at the door.
Wow.
Before I go in my studio and also I have music ADD as well, you know. So I'll be like, I want to switch the song in this, and it's just like so distracting.
Right.
I end up just zoning out.
Nice.
I like it super quiet.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Like our other past guests and friends of the pod, you did go to MICA. And we think Baltimore and Philadelphia as spiritually sisters, right? But also there's a ton of contrast. For instance, Philadelphia stands on her own as a primary city, whereas Baltimore is frequently overshadowed by DC. What attracted you to MICA coming from Philadelphia?
Well, when I went to CCP, which is, you know, the acronym for Community College of Philadelphia, one of like the oldest painting teachers there, and he was very like a painter's painter. His professor went to MICA, but Sean Sauer, my art advisor, told me to really think about where I'm gonna go and look at the painting professors. So I did a lot of research on just which professor I wanted to paint under.
Yeah.
And I found Mark Carnes, who just recently retired, and so did the other guy that took Mark Carnes back in the 70s. And he was a real painter's painter. And he, again, like he taught us how to look and how to paint in a very specific way. That wasn't like teaching us some sort of style or anything. It was a lot of really long, boring presentations on Vuillard and different artists. So I took just his classes the entire time, and I never changed professors or anything. I was like, if I'm going to study something or under somebody, I want to really, you know, he was kind of like, I would say he was my, like, Mr. Miyagi, and I was like the Karate Kid.
Nice.
Because, like, his you know, disciple was my teacher, and then I got to him. And but, yeah, so that made me want to go to Baltimore, and it was awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you know you wanted to return to Philadelphia after school, or did you leave it up in the air until after graduation?
No. I thought about going to New York, but then that got quickly shut down in my head, thinking about money and studio space and everything.
We hear that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I cannot afford that. I don't even think rich people can afford
right.
New York.
That's true.
But, I really wanted to be showing in New York because I like that scene and I like the art coming out of there. Mm-hmm. Baltimore it's small and it's a little bit further, and I'm from here, and I just, you know, just looking at the amount of like galleries and stuff here and art stuff going on, it's like huge contrast.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I hate DC, so it scares me.
Yeah.
It's too big, like the streets are long.
Lauren, can you share about any upcoming projects or exhibitions that you have?
So I'm really excited about this upcoming exhibition. It's put on by Patrick Bauer and Robert Zurr. Robert I met through Philly Group Crit in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
It's run in like PAFA, and it's an awesome place for artists to get together and show each other's work and critique each other.
Nice.
So he invited me to be a part of this show with 8 other artists, and it's called Often I Am Permitted to Return to a Meadow at the Active Space in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And that's on November 7th, running until the 22nd. And on that is Amy Chassie, Amy Morkin, Amy Toludo, Carlisle Birch, Judy Glansman, Karen Campbell, Matt Richards, and Ruby Hewitt.
And yourself.
And me. And it's just like an all-star lineup, and I'm so honored to be a part of that group of people.
Yeah.
I feel like it's making me really appreciate group shows and the whole concept mm-hmm. of group shows. Often I'm Permitted to Return to a Meadow is all about this like head landscape and this kind of subconscious field that you could go into, and it's based off of a poem by Robert Duncan, I think. But yeah, so I'm super excited about it if you have any New York listeners or Brooklyn listeners.
Yes, definitely.
Please come.
What inspired these pieces that are being shown in that exhibition?
It's one piece. I have a really big piece in there. And what inspired it was just my subconscious and letting go. A lot of my paintings are just totally subconscious mark making and then bringing things out. And this one's got like a dog with an axe in his hand, and it's, there's a penguin in there. And,
yes.
And then I look at my painting afterwards and I'm like, oh, this makes so much sense. This is like my ego and this is this and my protective layer and all this, or, you know, whatever. So, I feel like the inspiration kind of comes after the painting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just totally zone out.
That's
and turn
great.
Off. Yeah.
It's interesting how you notice it after the finished product.
Yeah, it's like, I don't remember what those things are called, like at a psychiatrist's.
A Rorschach
the
test.
The Rorschach test, yeah. It's kind of like my own personal Rorschach test. Oh. And then, you know, whatever I see, I'm like, you know, I see this penguin and I see this bird and whatever. Wow. So I start just kind of bringing out whatever I see. And then other people look at it and they're like, oh, yeah, the bull. And I'm like, oh, I see a dog. And they're like, there's a monkey over here in a waterfall. And I'm like, yeah, it's your monkey, your
exactly,
waterfall.
That's exactly. Exactly. Whatever, you know, your interpretation,
like,
is.
That's great. That's, I hope it makes you feel good.
That's so good.
Yeah.
What type of paint do you usually work in or work with? And then what other like mediums do you like to fold into that?
When I started like going big and getting more abstract, I got house paint, big buckets of house paint, and just started splattering that everywhere and moving that around. And it gave me more the opportunity for immediacy. So it would dry in like 10 minutes and I'd be able to slap more paint on it. So I started working with acrylic after being an oil painter for a while, and then using charcoal a lot and pastel. And then somehow I wound back up using oil, just like a little finishing touch. And now I keep going back to oil. I'll start the painting out with acrylic and charcoal, yeah. And I'll be like, a little bit of oil, and now then the whole thing becomes oil. And yes. I hate oil paint. I think it stinks and it's gross, and then it gets muddy, and I'm really trying to avoid it. So I just told my partner, like, take all of my oil paint out of my studio. You can use it in your studio. Like, I can't touch it, because if it's there, I'll just, when I'm painting, I'll just grab whatever's around me. And the first thing if I can't find red, then I'm like, okay, well, red's not meant to be used right now. I see green, so I'll use green or whatever. Wow. But I've been collaging, actually, recently, and I really like that, because I think there's, like, it's easier for colors to find me a little bit more. Oh, like, yeah. I'll go through a page, and there'll be this cool color. And I don't rip out, like, any representational things, like a person's face or anything, but I'll find, like, a good color in magazines, and I'll start ripping those out. So I think I'm going to combine a little bit of collage with my painting or something.
I love that.
My future paintings. I've been thinking about doing that a lot. Yeah.
Lauren, where can people find you both online and in real life?
Lauren Sapori, everything. LaurenSapori.com, Lauren Sapori on Instagram, Lauren Sapori, gmail.com. and you can go on my website now. I just paid for it today.
Perfect.
For my yearly renewal, because I knew that question was coming. And in real life, you can find me if you're lucky. I'm kind of a recluse, but you can find me at Philly Crit.
Nice.
You can find me at there's a philosophy meetup group that I go to. I go to like little groups where the discussions are planned out in advance, and I go there and I know what I'm doing, but you won't find me at any parties or anything like
so
that.
So not at improv night.
No. I do. That's another thing. Like if this doesn't work out, you know, music didn't work out. If art doesn't work out, I'm going to become an actor. So that's my third backup plan.
Nice.
Fourth will be like accountant.
I mean, I think your really second boring. One is working out for you.
Yes, exactly.
It's three really one in a million kind of things. Yeah.
We have some rapid fire questions to round out our discussion today.
Hit me.
If you could work in any other medium and achieve the same success that you have now, what would it be?
Sculpture. Ah, yeah, nice. Big, really giant sculptures. If I had the space and stuff for it. Very and a team cool. to boss around.
Yes. Usually comes with large projects.
Yeah, yeah.
Favorite art museum outside of Philadelphia?
MoMA.
If you could heist any piece in the world, which seemed a lot funnier and less likely before what happened at the Louvre, what would it be?
All my favorite paintings are like landscape paintings. So it's like something with a bush or something in the ocean or whatever. But it would be a Cezanne painting for sure. One of his landscapes with trees.
Favorite Philadelphia neighborhood?
West Philly.
We promised a round of F. Mary Kill. Do you want an impressionist edition or do you want a surrealist edition?
Give me the impressionist. Yeah. It's...
Degas, Renoir, Cezanne.
Oh. Well, am I fucking the people or the paintings?
Oh. Up to you.
I'm a lesbian.
Up to you.
So
up to you.
I have to think which one looks most like a woman. which one's the gay one? Okay.
My,
okay. Yeah. Degas, Renoir, and Cezanne. Dang. Well, everybody hates Renoir. Everybody I have a conversation with talks shit on him. So I want to put him in the not kill just to spite everybody.
Nice.
Because I really like his paintings at the Barnes. So I would fuck Renoir. I would marry Degas. And wow. Cezanne's my favorite painter. But I wouldn't want to have sex with him or marry him because he was... totally disgusted by people and didn't want to be touched or see anybody ever. So probably be the worst relationship of my life.
Nice.
So often. Kill Cezanne.
Well done. Well done. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank
this is
you
a great
so
conversation
much.
To have. And everyone, check out Lauren's exhibition in Brooklyn this November.
Love talking to them. What do we got going on this weekend, Robert?
We have some things for this weekend. A bunch of things to pencil in into your calendar for the future as well. Ballet X 20th Anniversary Retrospective is running from October 29th through November 9th.
Locke's Gallery is hosting a dialogue between Jane Irish and Paul Galvez on October 30th. It's a free event, but RSVP is required, and we linked it in the show notes.
Mazzoni Center Honors is November 3rd at the Kimmel Center.
Friend of the pod, Carolyn Harper's exhibition, Prison Portrait Project, Faces of Despair, Hope, and Transformation, is opening on November 5th and will run through the 30th at Muse Gallery.
The 49th Annual Philadelphia Art Museum Contemporary Craft Show is running from November 7th through the 9th at the Philadelphia Convention Center.
Young Friends of the Philadelphia Ballet Brunch at the Bar is on November 9th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Get yourself a mimosa.
I already got my tickets. Fernando Postigo's Postigo Express, documenting the Basque conflict in San Sebastian, 1977 to 2003, is opening at UPenn's Arthur Ross Gallery on November 7th.
And I believe that runs until January.
Absolutely amazing. There's so many great things out there in the art. And so from us, Philly has heart.
And art. Hey guys, Lucinda here. Just a little something that we're trying out. Take it, Robert.
You've been listening to Philly Has Heart, celebrating the people, projects, and passions that inspire us. Don't forget to subscribe whenever you listen to the podcast and follow us on Instagram to keep up with Philly's art community.